and our sisters, together we will stand.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing, and I'm speaking with Jeff Farmer, who's the Director of Organizing for the Teamsters Union. And Jeff, you're here in town. There's a big rally next Saturday, March 26th. What's the message from this rally you hope to get to the American people?
Well, we're trying to express our solidarity, first and foremost, with the workers that are under attack in the Midwest, who are facing these incredible attacks from new Republican governors who want to strip workers of their collective bargaining rights, take away hard-fought benefits that they've won over the years. So solidarity is one key part of our. The second thing we want to do is just to express here in L.A. the fact that workers had the opportunity to come together to proactively fight for their rights, that we have a number of organizing campaigns here in Los Angeles, and it's a chance for workers in a blue state, if you will, to show that they stand in solidarity with workers in other states, but also are going to take matters into their own hands and be aggressive and build strong communities and coalitions. So under the banner of Our Communities, Our Jobs, we're going to be marching and rallying Saturday, March 26th.
And do you think the American people are falling for this obvious wedge that's being driven between private sector workers and public sector workers in terms of, you know, it's just kind of a race to the bottom. Just because the guys in the private sector have been screwed and lost their pensions and their benefits, they somehow are being encouraged to blame these public sector's workers who have it too good. The whole thing is, to my mind, is completely backwards.
Exactly. And I think, you know, much to my delight, I really see workers not falling for this, that folks are I think these Republicans have gone too far, and that in a sense they've exposed themselves, that this is not about fixing a state budget deficit, but this is about fundamentally stripping workers of their rights. And I think that by the fact that these Republicans have overreached and gone too far, you know, the American people object to the notion of taking your basic rights, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, and stripping those away. So that's one point. I think the second idea here is that we've seen in the polling that the American people support the rights of these workers. They support collective bargaining. I think they see through this notion that, you know, workers in one sector are the problem, you know, versus the workers in another sector. I think what we need to do, it's up to us to demonstrate the fact that really all roads lead to Wall Street here. All roads lead to the bankers, the corporations, those who control this economy. And the fact is that others have pointed out there's plenty of money in this country that could be shared. But the fact is that it's been ripped off by the very wealthy, by the top 1-2%. And so we need to reverse things. And a starting point is for us to come together in coalitions with students, workers, trade unionists, non-union workers, community allies, and to say enough is enough, that all over the world, folks are fighting to have their voices heard. And now it's our turn here in L.A. And we need to build a powerful coalition that says no to these policies of dividing people and stripping them of their rights and taking all the money and running off. This country is too good. There's too much at stake here. And I think the message that we want to deliver is that enough is enough, and we're ready to fight back.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeff Farmer, who's the Director of Organizing for the Teamsters Union. And clearly, there isn't a Labor Party here in the United States, as you have in other Western democracies, where unions have more direct political heft in the political process. And the unions have to rely on the Democratic Party, which is a broader coalition. And as you know, from the Clinton days, Clinton made an effort to woo Wall Street. And it's pretty clear that President Obama is also being kind to Wall Street. And one of the great paradoxes, to my mind, is that the president dropped the ball on the outrage about Wall Street that you've just expressed and somehow handed that to the Tea Party and let them run with it. Do you think that working Americans and unions like yours can recapture that lost ground?
I think this is a unique opportunity, and we better make the best of it. I think that what we've seen in Madison and Columbus and Indianapolis and these states is that workers are ready, willing, and able to fight back. And that the more they do, the more that it inspires everyone. So I see the fact that I think with what's been happening in these state capitals, tremendous momentum is being created. We intend to kind of carry that momentum through here in downtown LA on March 26th and have a massive march and rally. And then I'm excited to see the plans underway for a national day of action on April 4th, the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. Dr. King was organizing sanitation workers in Memphis when he was gunned down. And to have that day now be a national day where we can express our solidarity with one another, where we can say no to these corporate policies of ripping off the American public. I'm excited about that. But this is not going to be easy. We don't have the votes in some of these states. We're going to lose on a number of these pieces of legislation. But I think the thing that's different is that our labor movement, I think, is significantly different today than it was even 4 weeks ago. And that there's this notion out there that we can fight back and that we must. And that this is really the deciding point. I think in the first couple of years of the Obama administration, we were very hopeful that we would win certain gains. None of that has happened. So we need to take matters into our own hands. We need to be a voice for real action. And so I think that these next several weeks and several months are going to be really very, very important. I go back to this notion that no one's going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. We have to, build coalitions, and we have to fight back. And I think when we do that, we can be successful. I'm excited as a director of organizing for the Teamsters Union that even in these tough economic times, that workers are organizing and winning representation despite all the obstacles. We just won an election this past year for 8,000 ramp workers, for fleet service workers at Continental Airlines. Those workers had attempted on numerous occasions in the past to organize and win a union, and they weren't successful. We went in there and we said, let's put together a real plan. We did it. Now they're sitting down at the bargaining table, across the table from management. So I think that, we need to, just like an injury to one is an injury to all, as we've seen with what's going on in Madison, I think it's also important to think of a victory for one is a victory for all, so that when we do have success, that we share that success. But I think at this point, it really is about building a national movement where we express our outrage.
It seemed to me that given that public employee unions are being vilified, that it behooves the union movement to really deal with something that I think is a genuine concern on the part of a lot of taxpayers. And they feel that if you're being paid with taxpayer dollars and your dues go to fund the Democratic Party and you help elect people at the local, state, and federal level, that those politicians that you've funded, when you sit down to bargain with your union, are not going to be particularly forceful. So there is definitely a perception out there that the Democratic Party, having gotten a lot of people elected via union money, are not necessarily going to hold the feet to the fire of their union members when it comes to public employee sector bargaining.
Well, I think, first of all, I would say that workers are also first and foremost citizens, and that they had the same concerns as taxpayers and as citizens as anyone else. I do think that what public sector bargaining allows workers is a chance to have their voice heard, in that so much of what the labor movement is about in the public sector is giving an opportunity for those workers to have a voice in what they say and do in the job. So it's not just about wages and benefits. It's about creating an atmosphere where their input is honored and their ideas are taken into consideration. Clearly, there's got to be a serious and responsible bargaining on both sides. Every single agreement that's reached is reached by both sides. And we're not expecting, when we represent workers in the public sector, we're not expecting to take the employer to the cleaners. I mean, we want to get a decent contract for our members. We want them to feel like they're getting compensated fairly for the work that they do. Now, in some cases there can be some abuses, but again, our members are taxpayers as well, and I think it's important that those negotiations take place in an atmosphere of mutual respect and what have you. So I do think that an important role that unions play in the public sector, though, is to provide those workers with a voice. That, I think, benefits everybody.
Jeff Farmer, again, the director of organizing for the Teamsters Union. It seems to me, though, when you look at what happened on Wall Street, you can make a real case that there's a crisis in American capitalism, that Wall Street's about extracting wealth, not creating wealth, extracting wealth for the few, not creating wealth for the many. And I'm wondering who's going to begin a debate, because the unions are often dismissed as being on one side of the table. The argument should be about the American family and the American community and how Main Street is getting hosed here. I'm waiting for somebody to talk about the broader issues of economic fairness and to counteract what seems to be an amazing piece of fraud, that the Tea Party came across as a real American insurrection. But if you look at the legislative agenda of all the Tea Party members in the Congress and their governors that have just been elected, their first and only legislative priorities are tax breaks for the big corporations and for the wealthy. I mean, it looks as like a giant fraud has taken place. So in the face of this fraud, why not a real movement, a real Tea Party?
Exactly. I think that's exactly what we need. And it is the very richest in this country, the corporations that have essentially taken the resources of an entire nation and run off with them. Our general president, Teamster President Jim Hoffa, has talked about an economic pledge of allegiance, if you will, that would say to these corporations to keep the jobs in this country, to increase the manufacturing base here, questioning this idea of using free trade agreements and tax breaks to take jobs and ship them overseas and extort obscene profits in the process. So I think you're absolutely right. I think on the level of patriotism, if you will, that our side is really the side on the side of the angels here. We're the ones that are fighting for and trying to defend the middle class from being put out of existence. I'm proud of the fact, for example, that just in the past several years, our union has organized over 30,000 workers in the school bus industry, folks who work for private sector school bus companies. And they provide an important service in our communities, but yet we're paid terribly and we're treated miserably. And by winning union representation, they were able to, they're in the process of bettering their lives. That needs to happen on a massive scale all across the country. So I think as we fight these defensive fights and take on this fraud, as you say, it is absolute fraud. Governor Scott Walker, one of the things hasn't been as well publicized as it should have, is one of his very first acts in office was not only to attack public sector unions, but was to give a massive tax break to the wealthy of the state of Wisconsin. So it all goes hand in hand. And I think that it is a combination of doing everything we can to expose this and to fight back defensively. But we also need to, even against all odds, to be offensive and to organize as best we can.
And it would seem, though, that I don't know whether our politics are so lost in partisan rancor that the truth doesn't matter anymore. Sometimes I worry about that. But the truth of the matter is that the healthiest economy in the globe today is the German economy. Right. And there's no question about that. And in Germany, union representatives are guaranteed a number of seats on the board of directors of all corporations. And that would indicate that capitalism works better when you have that kind of, not that adversarial relationship where one side just wants to grind the other side out of existence, which seems to be the way that American CEOs almost train when they go to Harvard and Wharton Business School. So is that an argument you can make in terms of, here's an example of where we have something quite different that works a lot better than what we have here?
I think it's a very effective argument. It's a very effective example that we can use. I've actually had the good fortune of spending some time meeting with workers' councils in Germany and seeing that system firsthand. It's very impressive. It also comes with the expectation that the national interest, the economic well-being of the entire nation is an important objective. And it seems to me the way we have the system set up in this country is that that's not really the case. It's all about short-term, immediate profits and whatever it takes to support the bottom line. Well, sometimes that bottom line is apparently best enhanced by taking jobs and shipping them overseas or extracting maximum profits, as opposed to distributing and sharing the wealth and allowing workers to be partners in an overall economy. But one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to organize is that we need to, our numbers in the private sector, we represent 7% of the workers in the private sector today. We can't expect to be partners in any kind of economic system if we're so poorly represented. So I think that we need to increase the strength, the tenacity of our labor movement, and then demand the kinds of changes that exist or the kind of system that exists in some other countries.
Given that you just cited that statistic that unionized workers are down to only 7% of the private sector employment, there has to be some soul searching here because the numbers were never that bad. They've gone down gradually. There has to be a reason. It's not just, to my mind, the power of the big capitalists who've got the megaphone of the media, which they own. That's an obvious one. But there seems to be something terribly missing here in why working Americans are so often wooed by the Republican Party, the Reagan Democrat syndrome, which Reagan was so successful at. What is it about American workers, unlike their counterparts in the rest of the world, that makes them susceptible to this idea that they can go it alone and that they don't need unions when the evidence is so manifest in the opposite direction?
Well, here's what I think. I think that American workers have not been given the chance to form and join unions, frankly. We have a system that gives workers those rights on paper. But in reality, day to day, I mean, I've seen every day from our experience what workers face when they attempt to organize and bargain collectively. And the fact is that the power of these corporations, the multi-billion dollar anti-union industry that's sprouted up in the last decade or two, everything is stacked against workers when they go out and organize and attempt to organize a union. But given a level playing field, given an opportunity to fairly and freely express for themselves, we see time and time again workers choosing to be represented by a union. We've been able, with some companies, to win essentially agreements with those companies for them to be neutral in the case of union organizing efforts. And when we see that neutrality in place, workers make a decision based on the facts, and they overwhelmingly choose to be represented by a union. Polling indicates that there would be millions and millions of American workers who would join a union tomorrow if they could join a union the same way that they join the NRA or the National Wildlife Federation, by signing a card and becoming a member. So I think, you know, the answer to the question is that there's these legal and structural impediments to organizing. There is a whole mythology, as you point out, that of 24/7 propaganda against unions. So listen, I mean, I think it's really just a combination of many things. But the fact is that I think that workers will respond if they see a labor movement that is aggressively fighting on behalf of workers. And I think that's our task in the next months ahead. We need to take this momentum, this fight back spirit, if you will, coming out of the Midwest, and we need to take that and spread it across the country in public, private sectors, and really give people some hope and inspiration that it can be done, that you can fight back and win.
So the rally that you're helping organize this coming Saturday, March the 26th in downtown Los Angeles, there's a perception that demonstrations are a thing of the past, but I guess maybe things in Wisconsin changed a lot of people's mind, right?
I really think that's the case. I think that what we've seen coming out of Wisconsin and Columbus and Indianapolis has really given a lot of us kind of a fresh perspective that, you know, we need to demonstrate. We need to fight back. Being a citizen, being an activist is more than simply casting a ballot in some election. It's about being engaged. And sometimes that engagement needs to be militant. It needs to be demonstrative. It needs to be in the streets. And we need to get that message out there. Here's the other thing about rallying or demonstrating or whatever, is that my experience is that people remember it, that people are transformed by it. The notion that, you know, this whole slogan, this whole chant of whose streets are streets, that this is what democracy looks like, those are important elements, that the experience of being part of something larger than yourself, that being part of a movement is inspiring. I think it inspired workers in the 30s. I think it inspired folks in the civil rights movement of the 60s, in the anti-war movements. But I think it is important that we're out there, that we're giving hope and inspiration. And that I know that as a young man, I was involved in anti-war demonstrations in the nation's capital. And I came back from those experiences transfixed. And it changed my life. I've been active in the labor movement and other movements for the rest of my life as a result. And I think that those demonstrations and rallies and marches, it's important. We need to show that we have important messages, that we have a way to convey those messages, and that we, as I say, we give hope and inspiration to those who participate. I think we're on the cusp of really building something here. And I think that March 26th in downtown LA is going to be an extraordinary day. It's labor folks, it's non-union workers, it's academics, it's students, it's clergy, community activists, environmentalists. It's going to be a hell of a day in downtown LA on March 26th.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Jeff Farmer.
Thank you.
And again, Jeff Farmer is the director of organizing for the Teamsters Union. He is here in Los Angeles helping organize a rally that will take place on Saturday, March the 26th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Convention Center in downtown Los Angeles. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank my producers, Spencer Downing and Kim Nazada. Our theme music is by Los Lobos. You can hear this program, sign up for podcasts, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'm also writing a daily blog. You can go to ianmasters.com and click on blog. You may leave comments, and I'd love to hear from you. I'll be back on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Love, standing along the sea.
fire. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by 9:30. Who'll ever know how much she loved them so? That dark night alone in America. My quiet voice was singing something to me. An angel song about the home of the brave in this land here of the free. One time, one night. Yeah.